October 18th, 2010, and the time is 6:03 p.m. Bonita. Mr. Cox, if you'll please establish a quorum.
Mark Blackwell.
Here.
Rick Caudill. Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Kleinfelter.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Frank Preston.
Here.
Susan Martin.
Here.
And Carl Pride.
Here.
Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
We do. If you'll please explain the procedures for tonight's meeting.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting procedures. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division III application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the Commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting as no additional public comments are taken unless expressly requested by the Chairman or the Commission. If you do not accept the decision of this commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the Planning Office. Concepts will be heard following the final votes. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called, and at that time, please come forward to address the commission. Your proposal will be heard, and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting, with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the commission. And you may leave after your case has been heard.
Okay, thank you very much. First item on the agenda is approval of the September 13th and September 20th minutes. Assuming that you have had a chance to review those.
I make a motion to approve them.
Okay, Ms. Martin has made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Mr. Preston. All those in favor of approving the minutes of September 13th and 20th, please.
I've got one change.
Okay.
Now's the time to mention that, right?
Speak up now or forever.
Okay. On Monday, September 20th, Bonita, under All Salt Vacation Cabins. Mm-hmm. It says, when they talk about a manager, it's just a little thing here, but it doesn't make sense. A manager on premise 24/7 or live in Taney County and available. I think the 24/7 actually was meant to go there, available 24/7, if I remember right. Instead of it being, because if the manager's on premise, they're there. But just to make sure it's clear, it should be a manager on premise or live in Taney County and available 24/7. Does that sound right?
That's what.
Okay.
Or, so you want me to add, or?
No, I want you to change 24/7 from our premises to after available. So it'll read a manager on premise or live in Taney County and available 24/7.
Okay.
Instead of it being a manager on premise 24/7 and live in Taney County. That's a simple thing, but it doesn't mean a different, have a different meaning.
You really do read the minutes, Sean.
I do read the minutes. I've got to have something to do.
Put in glance.
Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes as they have now been amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, minutes have been approved.
You never know when we have to go back and look at those.
That's right. And we do. Final concepts, or final votes. Choli's Dream House, okay? And I see that our people are here representing the project. Discussion on this particular development. I guess I want to start off the discussion tonight. The biggest concern that everybody seemed to have was the road and traffic. The gentleman presented again that they had done a traffic study, and I just wanted to kind of clarify the traffic study because it ran from 6:30 to 11:30. I think that's a five-hour time period, and they had counted a total of 29 cars during that time. If my figures are right, that means there are six cars an hour using this road. So if you want a traffic jam, that's probably not the place to go. So, you know, the issue again of how significant is the roadway, which is the bottom line kind of issue, because traffic does not seem to be a particular issue. Okay, discussion? Again, I think, remember that this is coming forth as a special use permit, which means you could put limitations in terms of usage, could put hours. You know, this comes in as a prayer and meditation facility. It's not your typical nightly rental, even though de facto that is the business plan for the building.
Well, Madam Chairman, on that special use permit, you know, we've been using that an awful lot here lately. Mm-hmm. And we're not rezoning it in one sense. But the bottom line is that we're making a business operation in a residential area. And once we do that, we establish that, it only applies to that owner, but there's nothing that, to keep somebody else from buying it and coming before this commission and deciding that they want to operate the same type of an operation on a special use permit. So what we've done is, and we're in pretty bad shape of, I mean, position to try to turn that down. So I think we need to look at those pretty close, because one of the complaints we're hearing, as far as that I'm hearing, as far as planning and zoning is concerned, is not protecting the residents in some areas. A big group comes in here and they oppose, and I know some of them don't want the landscape changed, and I think that's going a little too far. I don't think we could stop progress, but I think we need to look at the effect that those things have as far as business operation in a residential area, and that's some of the things we're hearing. And I just mentioned that, not that I'm opposed to this, but I think we need to take a close look at what we're doing with special use permits, because we're really establishing a business operation in those residential areas.
Your point is certainly well taken, and especially because of the other project that's immediately adjacent to this, where we did do commercial zoning on it.
Right.
So I, what do you do?
Well, I wasn't the other project. One of the conditions was that Pillow Lane be widened before.
The decision of record states that 400 feet of Ella Lane off of T Highway, whatever that road is, at T Highway there, Sunset Inn, from there up to the first split, it was supposed to have the road put in immediately. I reported to you last week that road wasn't in yet because, you know, they were wanting to hold off on due to the appeal period and everything like that. But they do have their staff out there. They still have their staff out there. Now, whether they're having people out for counseling or not, I don't know, but they do have their office out there.
Yeah, because when we were out there, there was about 8 or 9
Yeah,
cars.
And it looked to us like when we were out there, they were moving everything in, but I'm sure if they moved everything in, that's where they are operating out of. Now, whether they, like I say, are having guests on site for their counseling or not, I don't know, but they do have staff out there at the very least, and the road has not been widened up that 400 feet yet. That is something that, you know, I can contact them tomorrow and say, this got to start, you know, immediately, or you need to quit doing business out here. That would affect this property up to the first 400 feet, but then from where it splits off and goes on back, it would not, because they, if you remember correctly, they were told once you begin to build out here, then you do the rest of this road.
Sure.
So,
we need to think about this. I have nothing against the business, what you're doing at all. I think it's wonderful. But I think that we need to develop some sort of continuity and some consideration when we approve. Either that or we need to have the zoning districts. You know, we can talk about doing. Because in to me, this is either going to be a bed and breakfast or it's a nightly rental. And it's going to, it's a special use, it's bona fides. There's nothing else really that they can fall under. Is that correct?
We have some designated special use, bed and breakfast, junkyards, different things.
I don't think she uses to go there.
No, but we have some areas that we have defined. But we can have special use without it actually falling into one of those categories. The ones that are well-defined, such as the bed and breakfast, and I've gone over this with you some, it's very limiting. The proprietor has to live on site. They don't have to serve food for a bed and breakfast. It goes into how many parking spaces and everything like that. It's very, very, very well-defined. Four total rooms. So when this came before us, I didn't bring it to you as a bed and breakfast because it didn't fit the criteria for bed and breakfast. This is not their permanent residence and everything. Under a special use permit, I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think we have to label it. I brought it to you as a nightly rental because that's what it sounded like to me. I don't know that you have to label it as, you know, whatever. But if it definitely falls into a particular category, that's what we were trying to do. If it doesn't fall into those five or six that are definitely defined, it can still be a special use. And you put your stipulations on it.
It would be like a generic stipulation.
Yes, ma'am. And you would want to stipulate whatever specifics that you wanted on that. But that comes already in place for the biggest part. If it is a bed and breakfast, or if it is a nightly rental or something like that, we've said in these situations we always want this. But we haven't addressed every possible special use that there could be.
And I'm trying to, may I ask Mrs. Shirley a question?
Mm-hmm.
I've got two questions. One, what is the normal period, length of, if a couple came or an individual came, how long, how many days, or how many nights would they typically stay? I mean, your norm as opposed to your exception.
But the norm ranges. We may have people coming for a 24-hour prayer retreat. My husband's there right now for a 24-hour prayer retreat. The mentoring intensives are 3 nights. When families come to retreat together, that seems to range from 3 to 7 nights. One time our longest has been 8 nights. And then several times we've had people just for 24-hour prayer.
Ms. Martin, while you're doing your figuring, if I could, because I've had a couple questions on this, we discussed last week about you spending a certain amount of time with your family there, a total of maybe 3 or 4 months out of the year.
2 to 3 months.
Okay. That would be some time here and some time there. It's not where you come down and stay 3 months.
That's right.
And that time would not be included in the time that you were having your mentoring things like that.
Yeah.
When you're doing your mentoring intensives or your prayer retreat, something like that, your family's not staying on site at that particular time.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is set aside for those other people. Yeah. And if you were renting this as a nightly rental to a group or whatever the reason for 2 nights, 3 nights, 4 nights, your family wouldn't be staying on site there. I mean, that's not the part of the time that you're living there. But you. When you're doing your mentoring intensives, mm-hmm. you are on site for those, however long they would go.
Yes, sir.
So when she's talking about the time that she's staying there, all this other stuff is not going on. When these other activities are going on, her family is not staying on site there.
Okay, and if somebody came, how would they get a key? Would they always be there when somebody is there? Either them or how would they get a key?
Yes, ma'am. I am, I think with one exception, I have always greeted everybody who has arrived.
And you stay there? While people,
our
guests, are in your house?
No, ma'am. I give them the tour, answer any questions, give them all the phone numbers that they would need if they had anything that came up, and then I go back to my family.
So you're really asking about length of stay and if there were some way to limit that? Is that, Susan, kind of...
If somebody wanted to come and stay nights, I wouldn't have a problem.
No.
It's the 24 hour, and actually with her not being there, with somebody not on premises, in case there's a fire.
How far away from this house are you?
We live exactly 1 hour and 15 minutes away.
15 minutes.
And then our team is here in Branson. We have a wonderful woman that assists us, and she's 10 minutes away.
So there's someone that could be there 24 hours if they need,
Oh, sure. Any time they would need somebody.
They need to be there at any time.
Yes. That would be one of the numbers that you give to the people that are staying there?
Yes. Okay. I have them call me first, and then I give them whatever number. So far, nobody's ever needed anything, but we have our list ready.
If you had to put a percentage on it, the best you can, what percentage of those would be intensives, like you call them, where you're there,
mm-hmm.
helping facilitate that?
Yes.
Compared to retreats, which would be where you're not there. That's the way I'm defining it.
Certainly. This year, I can give you exact numbers. This year, we are only holding 2 mentoring intensives because it's our first time. Next year, we probably plan on holding 1 a month, so it'll be 12 a year. That's where we're heading
to. So 12 times a year, one day out of the
Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. The mentoring intensives are 4 days and 3 nights.
Okay.
And so we're thinking toward once a month starting in 2011. We've been doing our trials this year. So my next one's actually Monday.
Okay. So if you've got 3 times 12, whatever, 36 nights.
Yes, sir.
That where you'll be there plus 2 months out of the year, your family will be there.
Yes.
And that leaves the rest of it, which is about a little under 9 months, 8 months, let's say,
mm-hmm.
that are available to rent for retreats.
For either people coming for private prayer or for families.
But on those 8 months, that you wouldn't be there.
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
Does that put a number on it somehow? So 8 months out, 4 months out of the year, kind of way I'm listening, hearing it, mm-hmm. is that you will be there in some fashion. The other 8 months, it may be rented, but
yes.
you won't be on premises.
And my guess would be that of those 8 months, possibly 2, nobody would be there.
Yeah, that's...
But that's correct, the rest.
Room nights, which
yeah, that would be
that
nice.
Doesn't happen, but just trying to figure what would be available for what, so...
Yes, okay. sir.
Thank you. Okay, yes. Any other questions for me?
Very nice website I looked at this weekend.
Yes.
And I just wanted to, maybe it's a matter of schematics and I don't understand it, or maybe it's things we need to discuss. At one of the first page of the website talks about reunions, family vacations, staff retreats, personal getaways, and a writer's haven.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk about, in the previous concept report, it talks about groups on a selective basis, not to exceed individual capacity of the home.
Yes, sir.
And then in your write-up, it talks about 23-plus guests at $10 per night to a total of up to 26
yes,
members
sir.
Or visitors. So I thought in previous discussions we had talked about the operation would not typically have more of a footprint than a family of 5 or so.
Yes, sir. And that is accurate.
Okay.
I did the actual numbers of how many times the place is empty, how many times I have a group of 5 there, 1. The largest group we've had to date is 20, and put that out over 365 days. And so those actual numbers are what I came up with for the 5.4 or 5.45 people.
Did the 20 people stay overnight? Or?
Yes, they did. They did. It was a family reunion. I think it was a 60th anniversary. Lovely, mm-hmm. lovely family coming together.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Would anybody else have a question?
Not
okay.
yet, but there might be. Is there any kind of precedence in the county for a residential church?
Churches in the county are considered compatible in any neighborhood. If you were going to build a church, you would just come to us and get a permit and off you would go. We would try to make sure that there was adequate parking and everything like that, but it does not require a visit before this board at all. As far as what qualifies as a church or not or anything like that, you know, we don't have any problem with your basics, but what qualifies as a church that would set me in Mr. Paulson's office probably quite a bit, or what we would do there. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything, and I'm not asking you to respond, but if this came to us as a church, then we would proceed on without coming before this board. In that situation, the church could allow anybody to use the property, and normally would do that without a charge, not, and there would be nothing. to prevent that from happening or anything like that.
I'm saying this
doesn't really qualify as church. It has some spiritual overtones or some religious overtones or something like that, but there's some other things that would go in, I think, to making it a church.
So it's a nightly rental.
That, as far as a specific special use that we have defined, I would say yes. If you don't think it's a full-blown nightly rental, although there is some of that going on, you're going to have to back up to just the general special use.
I think it's a nightly rental. I mean, it looks like a nightly rental.
I mean, if it's advertised on the internet with prices, I mean.
20 people is a lot. Mm-hmm.
Except if they were kids and bunked in. And
that's still.
It's a six-bedroom home, if I'm not mistaken.
There are six potential.
Is it five or six? Is it a five-bedroom or six?
Six full bedrooms.
Anybody ready to make a motion?
Well, I think we need to consider that last month with Mr. Alsop, this is the decision we made with him is based upon the same principles as what she's asking to do, so I think we need to stick with that if we're going to do something on that concept instead of changing it around so much that we don't know what a nightly rental is or what it's not. But if we make special rules for one person, I believe it needs to follow for the rest.
Well, most of these that we've looked at so far haven't been conducive
exactly
to nightly rentals until two in a row,
yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the one we looked at a month ago, I felt like was pretty conducive to where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And for what it, they were asking, and it just so happens that the very next one we look at is also pretty conducive. I mean, there's really nothing around it. Like a lot of the others we looked at that are house to house to house to house, you know, right in the middle of the neighborhood.
Madam Chairman, I would be willing to make a motion to approve this on the following conditions.
Okay.
At any one time, there is a maximum of 8 people for 8 guests.
As overnight or?
Yeah, I mean, overnight.
Overnight guests. Okay. Okay.
It would be a minimum of a between this of a 2 or 3 night stay. I'm open for discussion on that one, and that there will be 24/7 contact on site or in Tama County. And also one of the other considerations we might want to discuss is that the minimum county standard, and I need to defer to Frank on this one, of the driving surface to the property. And adequate parking.
Okay, so there were basically 5 issues that you dealt with.
The number of people.
Number of people, nights, length of stay.
The contact.
24/7 contact thing.
And adequate parking.
Parking, and then the road surface in the property or into the property.
The county standard driving surface up to.
So that includes Ella. Is that correct?
Minimum, okay. Minimum county defined standard, I believe.
That could be a gravel road.
A gravel road, and you have some standards depending on density in the area and everything, but it's normally a gravel road, 22-foot driving surface and ditches if needed. You'd have to look at it. I understand that. But that's what you're asking, that it be.
So we've already put standards or whatever for Ella Lane, haven't we? But
you're talking about the other business out there. The first 400 feet, like I said, they were supposed to do that immediately. But we told them that until they begin to build their cabins, they wouldn't need to do the rest. So that from where that splits to go off toward this property, mm-hmm. it's still just a small dirt road and everything. And she's stating that she would like to see that brought up to even though it's a private road, minimum county defined standard for a road, so that it can supply this property with the traffic that would be in and out of it.
And that seems to be the biggest concern of the residents around mm-hmm. here, is the increase in traffic. And I mean, and I'm not doubting your word about the people coming, but you know, sometimes the call of Shoji Show is just irresistible. And I'm being facetious. I don't care. You know, it could be anybody, but you know, I mean,
okay,
it's
but
Branson.
Before we go much further, making sure that you understand that the motion has five component restrictions or addendums to it. And I'm waiting for a second.
I'll second it. I've got some questions.
Okay. So the motion has been made. Points under discussion. Length of stay. Numbers of people.
Number one.
The
length of stay. The contact. The adequate parking. And the county standard
service. Okay, discussion?
A couple comments. In regards to number of people, the website states it has 7 bedrooms, and I know my wife and I live, there's 2 of us, we have a guest home and have regular visitors throughout the summer, and we exceed 8, 10, and 12 sometimes just in my personal home with visitors. And to state that this home of this magnitude or size with this number of bedrooms, with the number 8, we could get a large family that lived in there that would exceed that number. The minimum county road standard, I think they should only be responsible for what's within their property limits or property lines. An agreement was previously made with the National Institute of Marriage, and there were some triggers as to what would kick those improvements. I have been out there, as opposed to what Mr. Chance would have me think. I've been out there on numerous occasions to look at this in regards to this project and others out there. The portion of the road that the public, I believe, is concerned with is not Ella Lane at all, because they have no reason to go there. It would be Sunset Inn from the time it leaves T10 to the beginning of this property. So even if they make the improvement on Ella Lane, that doesn't behoove the residents or the public in the general vicinity. It helps the visitors of the two things that are going on out there. So I'm in favor of moving forward. I'd like to work with the language a little bit more.
And the numbers and the mm-hmm. issue of the road. Mm-hmm. And then the other issue was the length of stay. Anybody have feelings about that? I think your motion limits the length of stay to 3 nights maximum. Is that correct?
Minimum.
Okay. Do you really mean minimum? That they can only be there for 3 nights?
No, she's saying they have to be there at least 2 to 3. At least 2 to 3 nights.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be like a
3-night minimum stay.
So you couldn't come in and stay tonight and be gone tomorrow. Or
if it was a 3-night maximum stay, they'd have to leave at 2 nights.
You've heard her programs, as diverse as they are, doing great service, I think, to people who have a need for that particular kind of service. I guess I am uncomfortable with our taking over and restricting her operational plan or business plan. And we do that when we limit that they can only be there up to, I mean, that they can only stay there for 3 nights.
No, she's saying they would have to stay there a minimum.
All year.
No. But you're saying a minimal of 3 nights.
They can't stay less than that.
Yeah.
Why not?
They can stay more. That's what she's saying. She says
I'm saying, why can't they be there 1 night? What's so wrong with that?
I think that's been one of the issues in the past with, my opinion, is that's been one of the issues in the past with the neighbors of new people coming in and out every day for a one-night stay. That was certainly one of the concerns that we've
seen.
But
these are not tourists. They're not going to be hauling boats and ski-doos.
We don't know that.
It's the nature of the project that she's bringing to us.
But we can't limit it. There's no way we can limit it to who her clientele is.
Exactly. Yeah, she just said she had a family
reunion.
Maybe
you can't limit it.
Yeah, but a family reunion could be there.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to...
number of people, I think we need to definitely work on.
Yeah.
Okay. How many bedrooms?
We have 6 full bedrooms. We can sleep 22 in beds. There are bunk beds. There are sleeper sofas. So we have 6 completely enclosed bedrooms and 4 full bathrooms.
And 4 complete bathrooms?
Yes.
Okay, Mark. Other questions?
Yeah.
Okay. If I take my family to a motel, we have 4 and we have 1 bathroom.
Right.
So I mean, if that's kind of what you're stumbling on, but we're all family.
Yeah, I'm going to have to sit here and think about a number on that. I don't know, 22 or that seems a little.
Can I help with that, maybe? Yeah. It seems like the Alsop one. There was 2 bedrooms, and we had 4 additional stay. I mean, if you go 2 per bedroom and 4 additional for sofa beds, bunk beds, and that kind of thing, that would bring it to 16. I would think it would land somewhere between 8 and 16. I mean, there's at least a thought there. So
yeah. Okay, that's...
I mean, I do think 22 is too high.
Yeah. So y'all want to attack these... one at a time and agree.
I
know, as I'm saying, but if we got some things we want to change, let's hit each one of them and move on.
It's being discussed.
Okay, and you can sit down if you want to again until the time comes.
How many nights minimum stay did we land on?
2 to 3.
Okay, well that has to be defined first.
Well, if we're not going to be able to let them stay one night, then we need to call something besides nightly rental.
Why?
Nightly rental is not.
Nightly rental is nightly.
Actually, a nightly rental is anything under
30
days.
Yeah. Anything under 30 days.
Semantics.
You just got lawyer.
I got lawyer.
Still, yeah, I don't care. Nightly rental is one for one night.
I'm guessing your hope, Ms. Martin, though, is to try to limit the amount of traffic in and out.
Exactly.
By having longer stays.
I'm not trying to limit her activities. I'm trying to limit the traffic going in and out.
The last one, for example, was a 6-night minimum stay at the Alsop. But it was in more of a neighborhood setting than this was. And that made it even a little more sense.
But the road's wider. And Casey Club Road is wider.
The easement's not, but the road was.
Yeah. Right.
Why don't we call this a religious retreat? What would that do?
No, let's not.
Because if I come in with a family, we may not be. I mean, she's going to. But yeah, I just don't think you want to put any handles on it that you don't have to put on there. And I don't know what that would help you.
If somebody's coming in for one night, and they're doing it for a 24-hour prayer program, that's one thing. But how many people actually come in for just one night if they're tourists? I mean, generally, somebody's going to come in for the weekend. Is that right? And if you're going to allow 2 or 3 days, what difference does it make if it's 1 or 3? That's my point. But
I think it may make a difference in the future as to what we do here. That's what I think.
Okay, because we're dealing with this again as precedent setting.
That's what I think.
As far as nightly rentals in residential communities.
So, okay.
Yeah, but you have to look at each property. I mean, this is next to commercial, which makes a difference too.
But not typical commercial. Very atypical.
I understand. That's why we have it in front of us.
I know. And we know what's the situation.
So.
So So have we settled on 16
guests? Well, okay,
guests,
so are we going to stay with the minimum of 3-night stay? Yes, no, maybe.
I'm fine. I just
2-night stay, so that would include a weekend?
That would be Friday night or Saturday night.
We don't care what nights.
Yeah.
I'm not getting
Monday night, Tuesday night.
Okay, Susan, but the question is, are you...
Two nights.
Okay, so are we amending the motion to go for 2 nights, minimum stay? Okay. Then we've got the issue of...
Maximum number of people,
and it sounds like the facility can certainly accommodate more than our maximum number that we set in the motion.
So you're suggesting 16?
Well, that was the number.
I'm just looking at the bedrooms. And what about the other one? You know, there were 6 bedrooms. That's times 2 is 12, plus 4 additional, which is what we did on top.
You mentioned some bunk beds. Is that in one room or more than one room?
No, we have a set of 4 bunk rooms right off the family room downstairs.
So you have 4 rooms that have bunk beds in?
No.
Okay.
2 sets of bunks, so 4 beds. 4 okay, so single beds.
And they're in a bed, one bedroom?
Yeah, they're right off the family room downstairs.
Okay, so they're not in
yes,
one of the 6
Yes,
bedrooms.
They're not, no.
Okay.
No. And then we have sleeper sofas that open up. And a sunroom that has a trundle. The master bedroom suite has an enclosed sunroom, and it has a. Y'all should just come see. We have a what's that called? A day bed with a trundle underneath, and that's in the sunroom. That has a closed door.
I hate micromanaging your business. That's I just have real difficulty with that. Pardon?
We do it every week.
Yeah.
I know, and I have difficulty with some of those, too. But, okay, so micromanage away, folks, but do it at a reasonable number.
So, Eddie, you're going to stop out every day and check and make sure the vehicle...
Yeah, the
more things you put on like this, can we enforce it? I mean, I know Ms. Scholey is going to adhere to what she agrees to. I think she's that kind of a person. I don't have a problem with that. Ms. Shelley would have the right to go to the Board of Adjustment and say, hey, can we get this changed and everything. But if it, you know, it's like what Ms. Kleinfeld says. She's trying to make a go of something out here, and we start micromanaging their business. She has to make the choice, can I live with that or can I not? Whatever she agrees to, or whatever stipulations you put on there, and she agrees to it, I think she will honor that.
And I 100% agree with that, about micromanaging her business. But I think we also have to take into consideration
the residents
sure. around it. Mm-hmm. And we can't just say, well, gee, you bought it, and now we're going to change it.
And Dan, can you zoom out just a little bit on this? If you can't, that's fine. Let me stop here. We're concerned about this road because of how small it is and everything like that. And on this road, you have a residence here. This property right here is up for sale, and the Scholeys may even be buying that. I don't know. I believe there's an individual that lives right here, and then this individual here whose residence is right here. I mean, his access is right there. So you have these two people here. You have a residence over here that comes out this way and down there, and then you have this commercial. So in the immediate... This is not going to affect these people down here because they access down through this area here. In the immediate area, you've got 2 residences here, and then you've got the concern, and this is where all your concern came from, was on this road right here. So these people coming out of here will turn. They'll have no reason to go this way unless they're going sightseeing, and they're not going to see many sights and everything. And they're not to say they won't go that way. But when they turn, then you've got this residence, and whatever's down this way. There's nothing to say these people won't go driving to see what they can see down in here. You just can't know that. But in this immediate area, as far as residents, we're talking, 2 right on the main street there, plus the commercial neighbor and this person that lives back in here, is what you've got. So you've got about 3, and not counting the commercial business there. So, but the complaints you were hearing about the road, for the biggest part, I think you have one, because I believe this individual here had some concerns about the traffic on this road. But they're talking about driving up and down this road, if I took that correctly. So that's why I wanted to keep in, you know, wanted you to keep in mind. So.
And it does narrow quite a bit past Lady.
Yes, Mrs. Shirley.
May I ask a question? Is it appropriate to ask one? If, with a two-night minimum, would people coming for 24-hour prayer, where they give an offering or they come for free, would I still be able to use my home in that way? Or would now people coming for the 24-hour prayer ministry only be able to come if they could do a 48-hour prayer? What would, because I want to make sure that whatever you say that I can agree to and that I will enforce.
I don't think they have to stay all 48 hours. You just can't rent it back out back to back.
And we can't, we can't set our prices. So
no.
If it costs $200 to stay for two nights.
Or zero.
And she only wants to charge you $200 for those two nights. But again, I don't know how we would ever enforce that unless I set money out there. But she will try. I honestly believe she will try her best to adhere to what you said. But that doesn't mean that she won't sell it off to somebody who comes back and wants to do the same thing, and they won't.
And please understand that we're trying to protect you just as much. You know, your property and your interests just as much we're trying to protect everybody else. And then, I don't want you to think that we're picking on you or whatever, because...
Oh, no, ma'am, I wouldn't.
What you're doing is I think it's wonderful, it's needed. But it's also protects you as well as the residents. So.
Did you have another question?
I did, ma'am. So if... The second question is, if we put a limit on the number like that, so does that limit, like, my family reunion coming together with 20 to something?
Like your family reunion?
Yes, or other families using
it
for a reunion.
It's your personal family.
So it would be a limit on the people actually?
They're paying.
Okay. So far, if you put a limit of 16 or 18, is that correct? That's what you're thinking of?
They haven't said that yet, but they've been kicking around the number 16
to 18. That would have disqualified the group of 20, and I'm almost sure everybody else has been between 15 and 18. We have a few people that would like to come that are more than that. Would I, if there was something like that, be able to bring an exception request before you?
Well, if they set a limit on that, they do not have the right to grant a variance to their decision.
Is there anything in the current code that allows us to pick numbers and days and hours? And
there's nothing that says you can't. It just says in special use permit, you have the right to put additional stipulations.
Okay.
Now, whether they're needful or not, I don't know. But
so you could put a generic stipulation that says that you will not have numbers of people who exceed the usability of your facilities. So Susan,
she stated an individual capacity of the home, and I believe it was 22.
So why not go with something like that rather than this numbering that we'll never be able to probably agree. Susan, are you listening to this?
Yes,
okay.
I really
okay, so what do you think about that?
Here is my point.
Okay.
It's, and I understand the location. One of the concerns that has been brought to all of our attention recently is that the permits and the granting of them have not been consistent. And I know we have to take into logistics and we have to take into locations We have to take that into consideration. But there still has to be some consistency, so somebody who comes in next week feels at least that we are being equitable. And I think it is imperative that we maintain, and I've been using this word a lot lately, but I think we have to maintain the integrity of the commission so we do not appear, even though we're not, but do we not, we don't give the appearance of, well, gee, let's just do it on a, you know, seat of our pants decision. And that's really what I'm trying to accomplish. That is my sole concern. And because she is also a citizen of Penn County and pays taxes, I think she's got just as much right to our concern for her protection as well as her neighbors. And that's my sole concern. I'm not trying to limit her ability to, I don't want to tell her what to do with her property. But I think that because of the nature of what she wants to do, there has to be some parameters set and it has to be consistent.
And you're referring specifically to the property that we just dealt with on Foyer River Road, right?
I mean, he came to us with the same.
And the fact of the matter is, we got hundreds of these in the county, and eventually they're
well, and that's why you look at each one of these on an individual basis right now. But you know, I think worst case scenario for you was if the house was filled to capacity, the worst thing that could happen was that each person in that home brought their own car. That would be worst case scenario. I don't think you're going to see that. I can't guarantee you that. But you understand what I'm saying, and that's what we look at. Can she handle that many cars? There may be room. You know, there's a big circle driveway out there, and it may not be an issue at all. And you know, and then of course you have your safety issues and everything like that. But if the house has the capacity, and you feel like the house has the capacity for that, then you know that should be the consideration. Either it does or it doesn't. And then if you need to limit it because, you know, we don't, you know, if this happened, then we couldn't do this. But if the house has got capacity and it's out there far enough and it's not an issue, it's not an issue. You know, this the same thing with how many days. Is that an issue for us? If we're trying to limit the amount of in and out traffic by that, it may be an issue. But I mean, if there's an issue, there's an issue, and then you find a way to deal with it if you're going to allow her to do that. Or it becomes an issue that you can't mitigate, therefore, you know, you can't approve the project in some circumstances. And we've seen, like you said, in neighborhoods where the houses are just close by, mm-hmm. Not a good scenario. You know, it's just not a good scenario. So you just have to see. You know, what you think is going to happen.
Okay, we do have a motion, and the motion currently reads,
at any one time there is a maximum of people overnight, a minimum of 2 nights stay, a manager is available 24/7, adequate parking, and road resurfaced up to a minimum county standard. We don't know what road.
Well,
we
that
don't
would
know how many people.
So we still have three issues that are outstanding issues then.
Okay. Well, I don't think 20 people is too many for the house.
Especially the way
she's. And I'll tell you the reason why my thinking is, if you go to a motel, you've got two beds in there. That's four people. You're allowed one rollaway. That's five people to a room. You have six rooms. How many is that?
30.
Okay.
And
no, I don't think it's six
bedrooms.
I don't think 20 people is too many for the house.
I agree with you.
I don't think 20 people at all is too much.
Can you accommodate 12 vehicles parking?
Yes, sir. We can put two in the garage, two right out front of the garage, and there would be an easy eight in that circle, would you say so?
Dan, come out to the big one again.
I'm going to get there.
Okay. Her property starts right here. But as you guys should see. So, yeah. So there, this is a big circle driveway here. And so I'm sure they probably could accommodate, you know, here's the garage, two here, and then we have the circle driveway.
And as far as the county standards, on her private property. I don't think we can do on her private property.
Our concern in the past has been that people have been blocking the county road when they stayed at homes that didn't have adequate parking.
But we've already got it in on the other one that came through about they're going to fix the road right at the first part of it so that there shouldn't be any problems at the county entrance there when that's put in place. There may be right now. I'm not saying that until that road is fixed, but I don't think they could put the county standards on her private road.
Are special use permits, Eddie, reviewed periodically at all? Is there any kind of...
We as a rule don't go and check those.
Quiet.
But special use is such as they're issued in the event of repeated complaints or something like that, it can be administratively repealed. So if I started getting complaints, I could get in touch with several of you guys and say, here's what's going on. And if we say, hey, they're just thumbing their nose at us, pull the permit. We can do that administratively. It doesn't have to come before the board or anything like that.
Okay, but there's no regular review of special use permits at all?
No, ma'am. We treat it just like any other thing that's going on, and we would respond to whatever complaints or anything there might be. But.
Okay. Having heard the discussion, do we want to modify the motion as it stands on the floor right now?
I would like to modify.
Okay.
Yes, please.
After much discussion, a maximum of 20 people, minimum of 2 nights, 24/7 contact on site or located in Taney County, adequate parking,
Okay, so you're dropping the issue on the road,
yes.
County road standards.
Yes, because it is up to the other two.
Maybe could make the answer about the parking.
Okay.
He already did.
Yeah, it's gone. Okay, and Sean, you were the second person on this issue. Do you accept the amendments and the changes as?
I'd like to add to it that won't even need discussion.
Okay.
Adequate trash disposal. We had that in the last one. And fencing or landscape buffering around any parts that touch residential properties. I've always put that in there. It was in the last one. And they already have the landscape buffering.
Yes. This is very heavily wooded.
So that's not an issue.
But I want it on the record. So.
Okay. I think we're almost there. Vanita?
Is that okay with you?
Bless your heart, would you try to read the motion as it now stands?
Okay. At any one time, there is a maximum of 20 people overnight, a maximum of a two-night stay. Minimum.
Here's Sarah's fault.
They look alike.
A manager is available 24/7 or located in Taney County. Adequate parking, adequate trash disposal, fencing or landscape buffer next to any residential property.
Okay, and do you want to go back to your 24/7 issue again? Yeah.
Manager is available on premise or lives in Taney County and is available 24/7. It's the same exact.
Okay, so the managers on site are available 24/7.
And located
in Taney County.
If they're not on site, then they need to be in Taney County.
And be available 24/7.
But that could be any number of people sharing that function or responsibility.
That's right.
Mrs. Sholey? Okay.
May I ask, does the 20 include children? And if it does, may I please ask for a 22 or even 24 number?
I mean, children are people too.
Yes.
So, I feel pretty good about the 20, including children.
Okay. Thank you.
And there are many ways to skin a cat. So maybe some of those people don't stay overnight on your property. I think there are ways to accomplish what you want to accomplish as well as what we want to accomplish.
So yes, ma'am.
That's an important kind of thing.
Thank you.
Okay. Are you looking at the land adjacent to
yes,
the property?
The land next to us is under foreclosure, and we offered a contract, but it's messy.
Okay.
It's messy. The previous owners had a different bank on lot 2 that went under foreclosure 2 weeks after ours, and the Bank of New York put a lien on everything those people own to try to... Anyway, so it's messy, but we have a contract on those two lots to provide more of a buffer.
Okay, so maybe you could put those people up in tents or something like that on those other lots or something. Okay, do we have the motion? And everybody understands the motion because I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of the motion as it has been modified, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Got it. Congratulations. Okay, let's move on to the Brass Lantern Resort.
As you're getting ready to look at this, there was several things last week that were discussed. We saw pictures of the billboard that's down here. I had two notes on here to make sure that I contacted the Corps of Engineers to check on seaplanes and on docks. As it turns out, when I got back into the office on Wednesday morning, I did have a letter from the developer stating some things, and Ms. Kleinfelder does have that, and I did talk to the Corps of Engineering. Let me do the dock first because it's the quickest and easiest, but the dock will remain as it is as long as that is nightly rental down there, so the people coming in as that nightly rental can use the dock, but it's not just like it is now. It is for the residents that are staying at the resort. Okay, if that'll help you with that. This thing with the seaplane is there's a big long letter there. The Corps does allow seaplane landings. There's a lot of restrictions, and I guess pilots who have licenses and fly seaplanes know what these rules and regulations are. It's just kind of a general thing. There is one pilot in the area that has the right to land on Bull Shoals, and that being the case, they were informed, the developer was informed that they could advertise that seaplane landings were there at those coordinates because of this one fellow. It goes on to say that they won't give them any more dock space for seaplanes, and but they would treat it somewhat like houseboats where you could on the dock or something like that if they were going to do that. But when you get down to the last paragraph there, it states that due to the multiple kind of users and stuff on the lake, that the Corps would not issue a permit for a seaplane landing area. Just to kind of bring you up to speed on that, that's what you can read, and I did talk to the Corps and went over the letter with them and everything like that. So there are a lot of things that are advertised on that billboard. I don't know if it was the intention for those to be there, but it advertises all kind of rentals as far as ATVs and all kind of stuff like that. I don't know if that was the intention for that to be down there. It advertises rentals for horseback or for equestrian type stuff. I that wasn't presented to us for that. I don't know that that's something, even though we've seen it advertised there. I think that's probably tied into the air park further up the road. I don't know. But if that's going to be a concern for you, it might be something that you'll want to mention in your decision of record if you don't think that's a good place for people to be renting RTVs and running around the neighborhood or something like that, as a business out of that same place. But so that's what I found out for you, and you're on your own.
Mr. Wolf is here as the representative of the project. Again, it's hard to crystallize exactly what all of the concerns were in the public hearing last time. Change is always very difficult. People have lived with the brass lantern result for years and years and years, even though the Brass Lantern Resort has antiquated sewage and, you know, some fundamental problems simply of age. So there you are. Okay. But I also think that entering into the discussion, and even though we cannot deal with this as such, is the track record of the people who are bringing the request, which has got to be very iffy in the minds of people as we deal with this decision. So, okay.
Can I say a few words?
Sure.
You know, we're not asking here at the Brass Lantern to land seaplanes and bring people in. That's associated with the other project, as far as I know. You know, all we're asking for is the resort to run as a resort with the option of changing out the cabins, updating the cabins, and selling them as condominiums, have three residential lots, you know, put a sewer plant in where it takes care of the sewage and everything. This is completely separate from the other project. The other projects had a lot of problems. It got really bad. We've got them back on track now to where we've solved some of those problems, and they're trying to follow the rules to the best of my knowledge. So far they have, and Mike Eddy can attest to that. And I don't know, I haven't had a lot of problem with her as far as getting her to follow the rules. You just got to make her understand. And I think she is getting a lot of bad guidance from previous people. And I know she's getting a lot of bad work from the previous people. And it caused a lot of problems. And so, you know, I don't know to point the finger at her or him, them or who, but it's been a bad situation. And, you know, it doesn't matter. What she done up there, we're asking for a separate project, and it doesn't matter if she owes $500,000 to this person or that person. Every developer owes money. You can't pay bills unless you develop property. Now, is this the right use for that? That's for you to decide. But we're only asking for like three additional units, because you take the existing ones there, and then you've got one lot that's already created by the split of the property with the county road. So there's only actually three additional parcels that we'd be creating in there. Would that affect traffic? Maybe. Probably not. You know, you're talking about three more parcels. It would help the area greatly to get the sewage, you know, taken care of correctly. That is running presently in Bull Shoals Lake because it's just traveling the bedrock down there. And, you know, the project would either have to be built or bonded if the plat's recorded. If they go in there and put the sewer lines, the water lines in, or anything, they're going to have to be inspected by an engineer. There's going to have to be a report made to DNR. They've got to all be approved. The sewer facility's got to be approved by the sewer board and DNR. So there's all kinds of checks and balances to keep her online. It's just to make sure that she does this prior to trying to sell a piece of property. And that's what I've tried to express to her, because that's what she's done in the past, is she done contract for deeds. Well, I'll get the sewer plant in. Well, it never happened, and then we've got a parcel sitting up here half a mile away that doesn't have a road to it, and we can't do anything about that. But, you know, that's what I've tried to work with her to accomplish, and Eddie has too. You know, we've been pretty adamant about explaining that to her, and hopefully things will change a little bit, but I can't guarantee that. All I can do is bring the project in to you, and it meets code. I don't think there's anything there that doesn't meet code, and just ask for you to look at it and approve it on the basis of that.
Mr. Wolf, I don't remember that we have ever talked about time frames for the Brass Lantern project.
She really didn't give me any time frame. The gentleman up there at the top that's wanting to buy those three residential lots is wanting to build a couple cabins up there pretty quick, which means she would have to, you know, get the sewer facility and everything ready. As far as the cabins, you know, she talked like they may do one or two a year or something like that. It's nothing that's going to happen drastically, you know, in there. If you put the sewer plant and the well in, you've got enough money in the infrastructure, you're going to have to do something to recoup your investment. So they're going to have to move forward, but they...
When can you file a condominium plat? plat. I mean, if this is all of one condominium.
It's not all.
It's not all one condominium.
Lot six is condominium, all held in common, but the other lots are individuals.
Okay. To Missouri statutes, and this is the way statutes read, that I can file a condominium plat on a property without any buildings being there by statute. I can also file a plat whenever a building is built or one building is built, I can file a plat. I won't plat them unless they're there, because my experience is if you do them the other way, you get in such a mess, because they won't build them where they're supposed to be.
You're talking about state statute rather than necessarily the code?
That's correct. That's state statute.
Eddie, you're aware about 3 years ago that code book was changed to reflect that a developer who sells a lot to an individual and that individual pulls a permit, it's the responsibility of the developer to have working infrastructure to that lot within 90 days.
That's correct. That's
okay. I wanted to make sure that you were aware of that.
That even follows DNR's requirements, too. It's nothing, you know, it's something there that's coexistent between the two entities.
That doesn't mean that she might not sell a lot, and that person may not build on it for years.
Uh-huh.
So she wouldn't hit that. But once he's pulled the permit to Bill's cabin, if he's trying to do it fairly rapidly,
she
is under the gun.
She shouldn't be able to pull a permit on a building until the infrastructure is available to bond.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying. So once the DNR has its approvals in place and she would get the bonding at 120% and have that in place, she would then be eligible to sign her plat as drawn. And then she could transfer the ownership of those lots, and if that whoever bought that lot came in and pulled a permit to build a Division I permit for that, because that's going to be a single family hold ownership type lot that has the right to go into the nightly rental, then 90 days we would have to have working infrastructure to that
or
lot.
The bond would be pulled.
The only reason we're asking for condominiums on this is the only option that the Taney County Code gives us. We don't have another choice. If we do common wall splits or anything like that, we could cut this differently. It'd be like a residential community. But the way the code is structured, we don't have a choice. I mean, that's the only way the code will let us split it. Because there's nothing there as an option. That's why we've got so many condominiums in the county, is because we don't have that option to be able to stop that.
Okay, Mr. Wolf, thank you. Members of the commission, I would ask you to look at the proposal as submitted, especially the review part, and make sure that you understand that it says the proposed site will consist of six lots with 12 units, lots 12 and 3 to be sold.
Lots 1, 2, and 3. There's a comma missing there.
Okay. Significant. Lots 1, 2, and 3 to be sold as residential lots with the option for structures on those lots to be placed in the nightly rental program. Lot 4 to be private for developer with nightly rental option. Lot 5 to be treatment plant lot. Lot 6 to be condo style of ownership for 8 cabins to be whole ownership in the nightly rental program.
That means that you could buy that, you would buy the building, and you would own it, but that doesn't mean you have to live there. It's like a vacation home.
I just want to make sure what we would be voting on according to the official
And I would tell you that if the developer chose lot 4 is big enough, and it would be a freestanding lot, if they chose to sell that lot to somebody else, the developer wouldn't have to live there.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Amenities will include a swimming pool and new cabins. The project will be served by an individual well and treatment plant. And fundamentally, that's the proposal that came before us. Mr. Edwards.
Madam Chairman, and to Eddie, I have never been worried about what was going to happen as far as the dock and the Corps is concerned. First place, that the Corps has got some pretty hard rules, and I knew all along that they wasn't going to be, have been no permit issued for tying up planes or renting boats or rooms with the permit that Brass Leonard's got. And it's a permit they've had all the time. Now, the reason I raised that issue is because of stories she keeps telling around that what all she's going to do. She did the same thing with the airport. And none of that can be accomplished, I don't care how much she sells it, as far as the Corps is concerned. And DNR is not going to make any inspection until there's something in the ground. If she goes down there and digs up that hillside, like she did the airport, and leaves the dirt piled up like it is, then the residents down there got to look at all that when she walks away from it, like she did the airport. So I'm not concerned about what's in the ground, the DNR inspects. I know that they'll take care of that. What I'm concerned about is how far along the project gets before she leaves it, because she has a history of doing this, and everybody knows that she's operating without any money. And she's selling this project based on selling condos. And I know it's none of our business, but I don't, if she wants to use that. But if you can't sell a condo in Branson, how are you going to sell one to Brass Lantern? But that's something she's got to face, not us. What I am concerned about, one, is the square footage on the cabins and the condos. You said it's one floor. What's the square footage on them?
They'll run 800 to 1,200 feet.
Any particular ones?
I don't know that you can put a limitation on, you know, that's just the approximate size that they would be is 800 to 1,200 square feet. That's common square footage for a cabin.
But what's her plans on this? That's what I'm concerned about, not what our code says.
You mean on the cabin?
And Eddie, those are, each cabin's a single unit.
Each cabin's a single unit.
Ten.
There's some of those cabins down there right now, I think, that are like 400 square feet. They're real small.
Yeah.
You know, you take a 20 by 40 building, that's 800 square feet. That's not a very big building.
But those are going to come out, as I understand it.
Yeah. You know, it's like Sarah said, the resort was a nice resort at one time. Age has worked on everything. And, you know, they just want to take one out, replace it with another one. That's what they're wanting to do.
Well, Eddie, if she sells those three additional lots up there,
mm-hmm.
What effect does that have then on the rest of that development that's proposed as far as square footage and the number of units in that space?
Okay. Well, which Eddie are you talking to? You talking to me or me?
Well, I was just talking to him.
This time I'm talking to our minister.
Okay.
These lots 1, 2, and 3 will fall under your current guidelines as far as meeting setbacks. These will be, if you'll notice, each one of these lots is 8,000 square foot or larger. They've got their frontage that's required, as far as the road's concerned. They're basically like any place that you would go that has homes built, like the rest of the neighborhood. So our concern on these would be that they meet setbacks. Of course, have adequate sewer and everything like that for the type of structure there, as would lot 4. So, unless y'all limit that to start with, as long as this house would fit, we would treat these lots just like any other residential lot in the county. Now, when you get down into this area here, you end up with 7 or 8 units down here. These could be as large or as small, but they're going to share just a little over 42,000 square feet. So they're on almost an acre. But if you're concerned about the view or anything like that, and they've been presented to you as a one level, a lot of times with one level it can be a lot. But we have a 35-foot height limitation in Taney County. But if you're concerned about these falling into that 800 to 1,200 square feet, single story, whatever the case might be, then put that in your decision of record, I guess is what I'm saying. So,
but if she sells those other three lots, there's still enough room down there to do what's proposed, you're saying?
If you approve, you're approving based on the plan that's here. And there is an acre of ground here, and with a treatment plant,
this many units of that size wouldn't be violating anything that I can think of as far as impervious cover or anything like that. And, you know, with condominiums, style of ownership here, they can sit pretty close together and they can turn them different directions and all kind of stuff could happen. But there's still, it's not going to violate impervious cover or anything like that. Let me ask you a question here. This is not the, that line right there.
That's a hedge of gravel out there.
Okay, I was trying to say that's not the floodplain.
Maybe one thing that helped you, Ray, is how a condominium's set up. Is you take lot four there and say she wanted to build one of the cabins, you know, plat one of them. The way a condominium's set up is you take all of the area of lot four, even including where the amenity area is and everything, that legal description is put in the declarations as the total development to the condominium. It goes into the association property to where the association upkeeps the property. And when you every time you plat one of these buildings, then that's fed into the association like that. But all the buildings in there, all you'd be doing is putting the footprint, because the condominium does not have any land with it. It's just the building itself. So if she sold, say, three of those condominiums, you platted them, well, then those people there that bought those have got votes in the association. So if she decided to back off that time and leave in a mess, well, they've got tools there in those declarations to protect themselves. You know, I don't know if that makes a difference to you or not, but that's the way a condominium is set up.
They have to set up a continuing authority for the what's held in common here, the sewer system and the well.
And as far as going in there and tearing the property up, you know, under current county code, they have to get a grading permit from the county to do that. And post a bond to be able to pull any dirt. Then a case happened where, let's say, she went out there and tore out two or three cabins, left dirt piles or whatever, that money should be sufficient to go down there with a dozer, level it off, seed it back, and it's grass again.
Do we have that money available for that airport? She's walked away. She's walked away from it.
Well, what you do is you get it before they tear it up.
Well,
I mean, that didn't, you know.
We are limited, as you know.
Yeah.
The minimum we charge is $500. The maximum we can charge is $1,000 an acre. This size project here, this is less than 3 acres total land. So depending on what she's disturbing, you could get somewhere between $1,000 to $3,000.
Mm-hmm. Which is enough to seed it back.
It's, yeah, it might have to have a hill on it, but it would.
You know, that's some of the problems that happened on the other one, Ray, that, you know, money wasn't posted the way it's supposed to be. Things got out of hand. You know, I can't help that.
Well, I can't control that.
Yeah.
If I could have, I would have owned the airport.
Well, it's just like this here, like I told you before. You know, Eddie and I are doing our best to try to keep her in line and do things correctly.
I don't doubt your word one bit. I know you're sincere of that. But I also know that whenever she fires you, we got her to deal with you.
That may be true.
And
well, I told her point blank, I said, you sell something, contract for deed, or do a meets and bounds legal service and transfer it, I quit. I told her that point blank. And I think with all the problems that she had with the county, and as severe as it was getting ready to get, and then we went in and corrected up these legals, done the plats correctly, got them to Eddie, let him proof them, made sure that all the deeds were filed to correct all the problems, it's leveled off.
Well, in order to give
and
us...
I think she's seen the light. Either she's going to do it that way or she's not.
But after she gets it tore up...
Well, that's
like
what the bonding's for.
Then we're stuck with it.
Yeah.
Now, what I want, based on our history, and I know we haven't been doing that, and I've been on this board for several years, and I haven't seen the need of it till now, but if there ever was a need for a performance bond, she set the pace for that. The county requires a bond whenever they let a contract. We need a performance bond to make sure that we're not stuck with another situation like the airport. And I want a provision in the summary of the items here that says that she posts a performance bond to where if she tears it up and leaves, there's some money to straighten it up. There's residents that live in that area. Now, the only time they see the airport is when they go in and out. Mm-hmm. But they got to look at this every day. And if it's left with dirt piled up and ditches, a swimming pool dug and never put in, things of that, or the sewer plant dug up and never put in, they got to look at that. And somebody's got to straighten it out. It ain't the county's responsibility to do it, but we need a performance bond from her before she starts, and I want that in that provision to give us all the protection.
So are you thinking about making a motion? And, Eddie, is there any precedent whatsoever about a performance bond, and what kind of monies are we talking about?
She probably couldn't even give one.
As a staff...
A large contractor.
The only thing that I have the provision to do is require, as Mr. Wolf has said, the land grading permit with the bond for that, and 120% of the engineer's estimated cost to install the infrastructure. So as your staff, I cannot put anything else on it. As to the legality or the ability to require a performance bond, it's not happened since I've been here. I don't know that it would be contested or not contested, I suppose it's always something you can do, and then we'll find out.
I'm ready.
I don't know if you're shuddering on this.
So. I'm ready to test because I don't think these people down there deserve another project in that area, and I don't think the county deserves another project like we've got with the airport. And I'm ready to test it with a performance bond. If she's got the money, Eddie, to build this, the finances to build this, she can get a performance bond.
You know the performance bond down there might cost more than what it costs to put the infrastructure in?
No, I don't know what it would cost. I don't think it would cost that much. I don't think it'll run her cost up that much.
For the fact of the matter, I doubt very seriously that she could even find anybody that would sell her one.
Well, I wouldn't. That might be true, based on her.
No, it doesn't make any difference to what her history is. I'm seriously talking about if you talk to a securities company or anything that sells those, that I know contractors that are fairly large that can't even purchase one.
And they don't get any work. That requires a bond either.
We don't have hundreds of them now, but probably when the boom was going on, we had hundreds of them running out here that didn't have bonding. Very few of them, like Jernigan, APEC, some of the very large ones have got that. But other than that, or Schneider.
There's a lot of this work over here around Branson that had a performance bond. Some of the subcontractors had to furnish
all of those bonds. Carry liability. That's what's required when you work for a contractor as a sub or whatever is liability insurance.
But Eddie, here's where we're at. There's all kinds of money owed on the airport.
That's immaterial.
It's not immaterial because it's all one owner. It's all one owner. It's all under the same name.
Where does it say in the code book that if you owe money, you can't have a project? Tell me that.
It doesn't. Okay. But for us to take a chance on allowing this type of a project to be developed,
isn't a project supposed to be approved by the code book, not personal opinion?
Well, we've been told all the way through that we put provisions, conditions in as a committee. Mm-hmm. We just put a 30-day limit on one over here at Walnut Shade, or we'd pull his permit. Mm-hmm. We've added other things in here. We've added other things in here at times, conditions that
you
they
know,
had
the,
to do.
The thing about it is the code is set up to protect what you're wanting to do. It's just making them follow the code. That's what wasn't done on the airport. The code wasn't followed. It got out of hand. And that's what took place.
Sooner or later, Eddie, somebody's going to step up to plate and want some money on the airport financing. When they do, they've got this project on the table, too,
yeah,
in bankruptcy.
Well, I'm not here
it's all the same owner.
To defend the airport. I'm here on Brass Lantern Resort, period.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wolf. Okay. I think it's now time for discussion among the members of the commission. Remember that you do have another option, and that is simply to deny the permit or deny the request. So that has to come into the play as well. Questions, discussion?
I've got a question for Eddie Coxey.
Okay.
You had mentioned earlier about height regulations, a maximum of 35 feet for the condominium project. Would that not be, that's not right, right? Isn't that residential?
On residential, what I quoted you was residential.
Okay, and the only reason I say that is because this is going to look like residential, so one of the things that...
But we've always treated the...
...considering that is that we would have to be specific about that because it would fall under the
right, because in
I don't think it's going to be an issue here, but still.
Yeah, in lot six, as held in common, that would be seen as a business, and I believe the height on a business is 100 feet.
Okay.
Well, this was presented last week as a one-story...
Right.
Well, I think
and because that was presented to you...
He just said 35 earlier, it got me thinking...
But on lot six, that is treated as a business, and as y'all remember, the height ordinance for commercial goes to 100
feet.
Could be
100 feet. Okay. I want to make sure I...
On the lots up in here...
Right.
It would be 35.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know why you'd want a single unit 100 feet.
Where do you
want
to go with this, Mr. Preston?
Eddie, is there anything on... In the last few weeks, the media has hit us hard, and people around the courthouse have hit us hard for not having any common sense in planning and zoning. I'm going to go back to the airport or the air park issue, even though this is a standalone. Is there anything, has the stop work order been lifted?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything outstanding that she has, any obligations that she's not met that would possibly have some impact on this current project?
She has adhered to, as far as I know, the decisions that we did when the project was reheard, I believe in last December, and we were of the understanding then that some of these issues, as the phases went along, would bring more and more of the lots that have been sold into compliance. So right now, as far as I know, everything is in compliance. She is currently undergoing the DNR subdivision analysis because we've platted all the lots that we can plat out there until we're on septics and until they decide what the minimum lot size is going to be. And it looks like it's going to be greater than what our 2-acre minimum would be. Mr. Wolf has been very good to make sure that she has adhered to those issues. Now, there is nothing to say that she couldn't be selling land on a contract for deed and escrowing the money, but as far as I know, there has been no other transfer of land by warranty deed or anything like that, whole ownership type transfer of land out at the air park, and it is in compliance as what we permitted last December. So, that's there. There is still some land grading bond out there. Our land grading bonds, this happens to be a cash bond, does not expire. The land grading permit is renewed on a yearly basis and everything like that. There is no, as far as I'm aware, there's no sediment or anything leaving the property to cause any concerns. And like I say, DNR has been on site, and they've had no concerns with what's going on. Now, do we like the way it looks, or could I take my land grading bond out there and mow that hill down and reseed all that? Probably not. But she's not under bond for the rest of the project as far as infrastructure is concerned. That was one of your stipulations, that as each phase went along before that phase was completed and platted, that the infrastructure would be in and the lots would be usable before the next phase would begin to open up. So in this situation here, you would possibly, if she wanted to plat before she put it in, you would possibly have the bond money for the collection system for the sewer, the road, whatever roads might be required, and utilities and well. You would have that as additional cash to... In the event that something went south on this, again, your land disturbance permit would not cover, and she doesn't have to bond it. She could go out, get a land disturbance permit, and decide to put everything in, and then say, "I'm in now. I want to plat." She wouldn't have to bond, but she wouldn't sign. The plat wouldn't be signed, and no land would be transferred, until that work was completed. If she didn't bond.
Okay. Well, if I may, let's move on. Mr. Edwards, are you willing to make a motion?
No.
Okay. Okay. Anybody ready to make a motion?
I might want it to be denied.
Well, it's a motion.
And I will remind you, when you make a motion, if you're making a motion to deny, we need to have some kind of reasoning with attached to that. And I'm not saying that there is or isn't. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a commercial operation out there and has been a long time before planning and zoning. So we got that to contend with as far as denying it. And I think that'd be an issue if it was appealed.
And you're referring,
I'm not opposed.
You're referring to the resort itself.
Right. Now. I want y'all to know it. I'm not opposed to this development. If we knew here tonight that this development was going to be built like its own paper, I'd be the first to make a motion to approve it. But when you don't have any money, you ain't going to build something like this. You can have a dream, but you ain't going very far to build it. And by her own admission, she's telling around in the neighborhood, along with a lot of the other stories, it's based on selling a condo. Why sell this condo? Well, we all know what the market is on condos. And Brass Leonard ain't holding no key to that.
Well, and one condo does not a lot
no.
of money.
But if I knew it could be built like Eddie's got it drawn on paper, I'd be the first to make the motion.
You know, either one of us can guarantee that.
But I don't think it can ever be built. And the only thing I want to do is for protection for those people that live in that area and for the county and this commission, that we don't get stuck with another project. That's all I want.
We had a room full of residents the other night. That's the same concern they had. They've seen by example what their previous workings were. I would also feel comfortable in moving forward if we had somehow to write it up in the decision of record that in the event it does fail or did fail, that everything would be returned back to its. It'd be hard to do once you have a cabin and bulldoze over
yeah,
and piles,
does
of,
that, yeah.
piles of debris all over the place. So how you know.
Unfortunately, too, in our system, you know that we have a procedure to follow, and the wheels grind very slowly.
As far as court,
I think the action. Pointed out, the code doesn't have any provision in it to deny somebody for not having the money to do the project. We can require bonding for infrastructure and things, but to deny somebody because you don't think they can build it is not one of the reasons.
Madam Chairman, I'll make a motion.
Okay, Mr. Edwards, good. Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that, as a part of the decision of record, that we add in as a number 7 under the summary that a performance bond be posted on this project.
Okay. Back up. And make a motion.
I'll make a motion.
I know, but add to your motion that you accept approval of the project as presented with the addendum of number 7. That's what you're really moving, I think.
And, motion approved based on the decision of record with the addition of item number 7.
Which would be a performance bond.
Well, I wasn't going to do it, but I will move this.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we approve it with the addition of number 7 in the summary that a performance bond be presented before the project is started.
Not yet. Okay. Is there a second to the motion?
Second for discussion.
Okay. Second to the motion. Now, discussion. Mr. Wolf.
My question is, you know, I'm not against what Rick's saying about the performance bond or whatever, but what if you're in a situation where she does not have the capability or can't find anybody that will start, you know, what do you do?
Pay the
I mean, that's serious.
Well, we ran into a situation similar to this a year ago, October, on a land disturbance, trying to get somebody to issue a bond for the amount that it was. And the developer ended up having to go a different route because he just couldn't get it. It was a small amount, and he just couldn't get anybody to issue. He didn't want to put the cash out for it, but he couldn't find anybody that would issue him a bond. Well, it didn't have anything to do with his credit or anything like that. And I think that's what you're alluding to. It may be that you just can't find a company that will issue that type of a bond.
Going back to some of her stories that she's telling, Eddie, I guess we could find out. She's telling around that she's got a guy in Chicago that there's no bottom pit to his money, and she's got any amount of money that she needs to build this project.
Well, Ray,
so if we pass this motion, we'll find out.
See, I'm just trying to be realistic with what I know that is a fact. You know, I've seen the same situation that Eddie's seen as far as people trying to get bonding, and it's just not there to be able to get. That's why I've raised the question. You know, I'm not against what you're trying to do. I'm just trying to be realistic about what can actually be accomplished.
Well, I'm trying to give her that project. The thing I want her to do is show she's got the money to do it.
Our counselor is looking perturbed or tired. Do you have any advice on this at all, Mr. Paulson, as we go forth?
I would stick to what we know the state statutes and our code set. And I understand what Mr. Edwards is trying to do, and he asked me earlier if I knew of anything that said that he couldn't do it. I would prefer to say that I don't see anything in our code that that provides for performance bond. There's the ability to do a bond on on the infrastructure and that sort of thing, the land clearing, land disturbance. But as far as actually building the buildings, correct me if I'm wrong, there's nothing in our code on that.
That's why I stated at the start of this, as a staff, I can't arbitrarily impose a performance bond. If it's something that you want to pursue, would it have to be something
so, that you So, Mr. Edwards, let's go back to you again. Would you be satisfied with the maximum amount of bonding that they can do according to county code?
No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't, because they're based on $3,000, they ain't going to do anything.
That would be the land disturbance. Now, on her treatment plan and everything like that, we would bond at 120%. So let's say if we were bonding the treatment plan and it was $50,000 and the collection system was whatever and the well and it all totaled up to be $100,000, we would require a bond in place of $120,000 for that, in addition to the land disturbance permit. But that's for infrastructure, and that wouldn't have anything to do with buildings or anything like that. So and before she could file a plat, that would be required. If she chose to try to put that in without bonding it, we wouldn't file the plat until it was all in, tested, and approved and everything. So she would have the right to, under the land disturbance, of $3,000 to go ahead and dig up and do what she wanted to do. And we wouldn't have the right to require her to bond that unless she was wanting to file the plat before the work was actually finished. So in one scenario, yes, sir, the maximum you would have would be $3,000.
Well, I'd like to see us give her a chance to bond it. And if she can't, then she can come back here before this committee again.
Okay, so you...
Through the whole process.
Before this or before the...
Okay, so are you back to your original motion of a performance bond?
Yes.
Okay.
So what would happen if she would have the right to appeal part of the decision of record, or would force her in that situation to appeal part of the decision of record to have it removed to the Board of Adjustment if she wanted that removed. As far as the legalities of it and everything, I cannot speak to that, but the normal procedure would be if you get a stipulation placed on you once the decision's done and out of your hands, the only people that can change that would be the court system or the Board of Adjustment.
And the Board of Adjustment has, in that lengthy statement that is always read,
that financial hardship.
Also the error of law situation.
Error of law, yeah, that you didn't have the right to impose this or whatever. But it would be error of law. It would be usually when we talk about financial hardship and everything like that, we're talking about variances. Whenever a decision of record is contested, it's normally contested on error of law. Did you have the right to do that or did you not?
Okay, so where are we? Bonita, would you mind reading the motion again as you have it interpreted?
Addition of number 7, a performance bond be placed on the entire project before beginning.
Okay. And make sure that it includes that the motion is to approve the project as submitted. Okay. But with the performance bond. Okay. And Mr. Second?
It's pretty hard with that language, the definition of a performance bond for the entire project. I'd hate to be the one doing the cost estimate right now on the entire project, so how do I know what the performance bond should be?
And I would have another question to you guys if you're concerned about these being...
Most performance bonds are 10% of the entire project.
Do we have that would be her cost, but we'd have to have an estimate for the entire project.
Yeah.
And again, we haven't said anything about square footage, if you wanted to say anything about square footage of these. So, you know, they may be larger, they may be smaller. I mean, we've not done anything like that, so...
So this would force her to come back with a total project estimate, and we go 110% of that?
On a regular performance bond, I mean, it's there to ensure that the project is completed, I guess. And I think what's been alluded to is that there's times when the county has work done. If like with the sewer district, and I'm out on a limb here, guys, but when somebody bids that contract and gets that contract, there is a bond put in place, performance bond, and they pay a percentage of that. But they know what the total project is going to be, and the percentage that they pay is based on the total project.
Generally, if they were 6 to 10% of what it's going to cost to complete the project, if they don't complete the project, anytime we have a county contract, we require that of the contractor. So if they don't perform, whatever it costs to finish the performance, we can get from the bond.
And I would encourage you that if you want these to be single unit, one story. On the condominium side of this, not to exceed so many feet in height or whatever, that you would, make
add
a reference
that
to that
as
presented to that fact.
Let's go to Mr. Wolf. You had a comment.
Is this is raise the tension, Ray? Tell me, is this just what you're wanting bond on, just for like utilities that disturb the ground, or do you want it on the buildings and everything? Because it makes a big difference.
No, I want it on the buildings. I'll amend it to do this. Those first three buildings that's out there, and the water and sewer performance bond on that. So that's going to be the first part of the project. If she gets that far along,
well, she won't own those three lots.
Those are going to be sold. It's not her intention to build on lots 1, 2, and 3. This lot,
that's
going to be sold.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
There's a difference here. She's planning on selling 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. She would build on this lot and then this area in here.
Yeah. Well, it'd be on the building too.
But my understanding was you didn't want a fact where there was like a dirt pit or something like that. Now, if you tore a building down and didn't build back, it's just grass if you take the foundation. So that's what I was getting at. Are we looking at just the infrastructure part that disturbs the ground to make sure it gets back in place, or what are we after? So, what difference it makes you build
buildings? I suppose you could say, regardless of whether she...
part of a building, you might want her to have to take it down and put it back the way it was. That'd be a disturbance permit of sort.
I mean, if you're concerned that she might attempt to put in the infrastructure and everything and put it all in place without bonding before she did her plat...
you would, and you would only have your $3,000, perhaps maybe you should consider a performance bond for infrastructure regardless. Regardless, do you understand what I'm saying? Regardless of whether she wants to plat right away or not plat right away, and but well, if you're going to have to put the bond up anyway, why not plat?
How much would that be?
Infrastructure for currently, the engineer has to estimate what it costs to put in each segment of that, and there'd be three or four pieces to that. And then the engineer submits that to us, and we charge 120% of the engineer's estimated cost to complete that.
Well, do you want to just put a performance bond of a certain amount?
I can't answer that. I mean, you know.
Are you going to be upset if she doesn't build the buildings? I mean, if she tears down what's there, and we have to take her bond and plant grass or whatever are you going to be upset that there's no longer a building there and that there's grass there?
No. No,
just that there's enough there to put it back where it's non-nizable. I think that's what he's after.
Yeah.
And all we have the right now, and maybe we should look at some kind of, if you want that kind of a deal, right. Maybe some kind of a performance bond on land disturbance. I don't know. Right now, all we have the right to impose is $3,000 an acre. So that can be done. $3,000 for this whole project would be the max, and it'll be a little bit less than that. But yes, $1,000 an acre is the max that we have to put on there. But regardless of whether she had an approval for this or not, she could still get a land disturbance permit to go in and dig that up at that rate.
She can do that without even...
Even if she doesn't want to build it.
She doesn't have to even coming in here.
Right. That is correct.
See, that airport job had two sewer systems in it.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
She never did do anything.
It hasn't got anywhere near that yet.
Because we are going into almost the second hour of our meeting, and we're only on the second project, is there any rationale for tabling this for some further research about the issue of bonding?
Our code book states that the project will be reviewed 1 week following the public hearing and voted on at that time. It doesn't say you have to vote for it or against it or anything like that, so I guess if you voted to table it, I don't know that's...
Well, we did that once. I don't know whether that helped this situation or not, but we did that.
I don't know. I mean,
would there be any benefit in additional time to research, for instance, what the maximum amount of infrastructure bonding
until that goes to an engineer, and the engineer designs a system and a collection system and everything like that, and they look at it and decide what's going to cost for the well.
He's going to make sure he gets adequate bonding. Right. He just doesn't know.
The engineer is going to stamp his estimate. We're going to review it for as best we can to make sure that it's in the ballpark, but the engineer is sealing with his license. This is adequate here, and it meets all the needs.
Okay,
like
and then can your motion, Ray, read something about adequate bonding?
Eddie, would you want to, if we table this, would you want to find out from her financier what amount of bond he's raising?
I think we need to just make a decision on it tonight.
Okay.
Because, we're not following the code, so...
May I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
She has a resort out there right now.
Correct. Uh-huh.
And I'd like to say that her financial stuff and all that she's done in the past is relevant to this project, but it's not really. We have to up or down this project on its merits. What are the changes from what's out there right now? There's three additional lots, and she's going to tear some of the current buildings down and put other buildings up?
Dan, sit back just a second.
Couldn't she just renovate the buildings that are already up, and the only thing she wouldn't get is the three new lots?
What we have right now, Bob, so you know, we have one lot. Okay. This one is split, so it looks like it's a separate lot, but when you pull it out, it's actually one lot here. And then what you see here, these dark little things are the existing cabins.
One, two, three, four, I believe there's two here, five, six, seven, it looks like. And plus this house is down here. So what they're wanting to do is create a lot here, one here, one here, one here, one here, and one here. So we're splitting this into six total lots and everything. And then going from what I just counted up to a total of 12 cabin units, plus this house being turned into a pool area, laundromat, stuff like that.
Instead of how many cabins does she got right now?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
House being used as
one. Yeah, and this house.
So 12 instead of 8, and so instead of renovating what she's got to update it, she wants to renovate what she's got and add 4 units so that she can have 12 instead of 8. But her current use is a commercial resort use.
Right.
But one of those cabins has 2 units, I think.
Yeah, this one here has 2 units. That's what I counted as 2.
I just want to clarify that she currently has a commercial resort use. This would be on the lines of a commercial resort use, except she's changing the form of ownership to condominium in certain places.
And increasing the density from 8 to 12.
And she's increasing the density.
Okay, thank you for doing that.
You could deny based on the additional density. You could approve with a bond. There's things like that.
We have a motion on the floor, and it's the motion from Mr. Edwards that adds number 7.
I did change it to read. Performance bond be placed on the first 3 buildings, water and sewer, before beginning. So,
but if you can't do that, if she's going to sell those lots out.
And is that what you wanted, Ray?
Well,
give me that again, Bonita.
Performance bond be placed on the first 3 buildings, water and sewer. That's
well, she's going to sell those lots off and ain't going to build them. That's no.
Yeah, these 3 lots are...
I didn't understand that. I thought she's going to build the first 3 buildings first.
Those aren't going to be hers at all. She just going to
build
those. Yeah,
so the 3 buildings comes out.
I misunderstood that.
Okay, so...
You need to just take those first.
Performance bond, placed on water and sewer.
What my motion would consist of then would be the water system and the sewer system. And those additional cabins.
All of the cabins?
Be part of the project. Wouldn't it?
It would be at 9.
Why would you bond it until you build it?
Well, I thought she's here wanting to build it.
Well, I mean, seriously, Ray, I'm trying to be realistic here. Why would you bond something that you may build in 4 years from now?
You just need to know you are increasing the density out there.
Well, what if she don't put the sewer system in? Same thing.
You're going to sell all part of it.
She did on the airport.
I'm dealing with the facts of what happened.
That's all I'm dealing with.
Okay, we've had a call for the vote. Thank you, Sean, for doing that. So either up or down, but the vote is, and Benita, let's make sure that we've got those 3 cabins, lots 1, 2, and 3, out of the issue.
Performance bond be placed on the water and sewer and additional cabins before beginning.
Right.
Okay.
Is that something that our code allows us to do?
What's that?
Performance bond on the infrastructure plus cabins.
I don't know of anything in our code that allows us to do it on the cabins.
Then I'm not okay with it. I'm okay with performance bond on the infrastructure.
And well, you
do that if you're against the project, you can do something based on the density because she's adding all kinds of density.
So what Frank is saying is he was the original second. Since this has been modified, he's not willing to second.
Right.
I'm not willing to second something that our code doesn't allow us to do.
Right. So now you do not have a second on the modified.
Okay, so we've taken the second away. Now, Ray.
Okay, I'll withdraw my motion and make a motion that we deny it based on the density of the other cabinet project.
Okay.
And in fact, compatibility.
Okay. Now, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Sean has seconded. It has been moved and seconded that we deny this project as it was submitted based upon density of the project.
Incompatibility.
All those in favor of denying the project, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Maybe we need a hand vote. Hands up for denying. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Opposed to denying the project? 1, 2. And 1 abstention? And the chairman did not vote.
Let's go back.
Okay. Go back to.
The motion was made to deny by Mr. Edwards. The second was from.
Sean.
Sean. Uh-huh. The vote was.
All those
correct,
in favor of denying the proposal. 1, 2, 3, 4.
So it was Mr. Cummings.
Did we get them all? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Susan, Sean, Randall. Then you had two.
And did you
two.
Vote to deny?
Okay. And then the vote to.
4 in favor of denial, and how many against denial?
2.
2.
And 1 abstention.
And 1 abstention. Okay.
And the chairman didn't vote.
And the chairman did not.
But 4
motion
is a majority.
Carried.
So 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. Let's move on to project number 3.
Thank all of you for your patience, will you?
Pardon?
I said thank everyone for their patience.
Mr. McGee, do we have Mr. McGee here? Saddlebrook Ridge. Okay. So,
and as you know, this,
good luck. Okay.
This is a replatting of
here we go.
4 or 5 lots plus the subdividing of the one big lot there. It was a road that's going to be vacated and moved up a little bit. But if there's any questions, this road gets moved. Or is that where it's going to? No, that. Yeah. The road gets moved to there. Okay. So these lots become a little bit shorter. Of course, the same individual owns all of these. He then takes this lot and replats it. The concern was from the gentleman that was here, this is a platted road, and they will have that access in perpetuity. It's platted as a road easement without restrictions on it. So that's what it is.
Okay, got it. Doesn't seem to be any real problem with this. Discussion?
I've got a lot of questions. I'll
make a motion to approve. Make a motion to approve. Mr. Edwards made a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Cummings seconded it. All those in favor of the motion to approve the project of the lot split, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you all. Let's move on then to concepts. And the first concept under consideration for next month is Dave Clemenson and Clemenson Realty. So, Mr. Clemenson, if you'll please come forward and tell us exactly what you want to do and where you want to do it.
Have you got the video?
Yeah.
I'm David Clemenson. I live at 161 Brewster Road, which is a
corner of 13, Mr. Clemenson.
Which is actually the entrance into Jerry's Boat and Mini Storage. But if you stay left of the gate, there's a private drive that comes all the way down to my property. And it is a private drive. It does not go any further. There is a gravel road that we put in down here because my mother-in-law lives down here, and we needed a way to get to her. And as soon as that situation remedies itself in one fashion or another, we'll vacate that gravel road, which is a driveway.
Okay. It's a little crass. But we understand.
This is the house where office would be located. As you see, this is a bridge, comes across a creek there. Our property line is within 6 feet of the back of the buildings there, which are all commercial. As I said, this is actually a 2-acre tract, and we own 1.77 of woods on this side down here. Over here is undeveloped 100 and maybe 80 acres, and over here is some a couple rental units on property that Mr. Causey owns also. This was Mr. Causey's dad's house at one time. We have a great big circle driveway. We have a detached garage with another double car driveway, which is all concrete. I've been in the real estate business for a long time. I've also been in the tax business a long time. And this problem has presented itself because when I sold my tax business, I always incorporated my real estate company within the office where I was located. And when I sold 3 years ago, I was able to maintain activity because I worked for the new owner. That has subsequently changed, but won't elaborate.
Okay.
So I'm semi-retired as far as real estate. I have no clients that come in. Everything, if I do, is on the phone, and I meet them someplace else, normally the other offices, but since I don't have that anymore, I find this problem that exists.
So this is a special use?
Yes.
Home occupation.
Yeah. And since I visited with Eddie, he suggested that possibly, since there may be a possibility that we would have more than just real estate activity there in the future, that we also include the possibility of financial services, which wouldn't possibly be accounting or tax work.
It would be the same size office.
And the office would not change. It's right now a 14 by 16 room in our home.
How about a religious retreat?
How many bedrooms?
Okay, I think...
I've been to some marriage retreats, and it didn't last 24 hours.
The marriage or the retreat?
The retreat.
Okay, I think we'll see you... whenever.
Next month.
Appreciate it.
I need to stop you for just a second, if I could.
Yes.
You remember last month when we had our regular meeting where we voted, didn't have a representative here for Tri-Lakes Ford. We contacted them, and there was some logistical errors and everything like that. But to make a long story short, he is here tonight, and we told him to show up and then get it on your agenda. To show up.
He is Mr. Ceretti?
No. Mr. Ceretti is a different project. This was a Division III project.
Okay, well, can we stick with the agenda?
Yes, ma'am. I guess you can. This was the final vote. That's why I was trying to tell you.
Because we do not have Branson Environmental Learning Center.
No, and you do not have...
So the Tigers are not...
They'll be back.
Okay.
Again and again.
And you do
have
not have...
Have they found land?
Yes,
they have a place where they're presenting that and everything, but they just opted to...
Whenever.
As did River Rock Transitional Housing.
Okay, and that is...
That is the old Dulos property.
Okay.
Where somebody has a proposed use for that, and they, I suppose before they buy it, they want to come through and see if that use can be presented, but it is not here tonight. It is postponed also. Which brings you down to Mr. Ceretti.
Yes, Mr. Randall Ceretti. Where is he? Mr. Ceretti, welcome.
Thank you.
Do you want to be a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission?
Not really. I go to bed too early.
You might have to take
Ceretti,
yeah.
There's a corner up there.
We're looking.
Mr. Ceretti, real quickly, he has some property off of Buchanan Road there, and this property goes back for a long time. There's a couple of duplexes there that were approved and everything, and then there's a shop building back here, and basically needing to kind of split this property up and everything, and you got the preliminary plan for you. Doesn't have his drawing just yet or anything like that, but I'll turn it over to you, Mr. Ceretti, and you kind of tell him what you're trying to accomplish here.
Okay. The property is 3.74 acres total. We built the shop and occupied it as a wood shop. Built cabinets in 93, and then the two duplexes between 93 and 96. Here's the problem. these two duplexes, and they share this triangle, which is downstream, as a lateral field. That's one of the problems. The other problem is it's 3.74 acres instead of 2 acres per unit, which is the way it was okay when I did it, but now it's not okay. I came in, I would like to make the property of the shop one property, and I would like to have it zoned commercial. We don't build cabinets there anymore, but by rights, you know, who I rent to or if it was ever saleable or marketable, it really needs to be commercial. Then I would like to take this duplex and give the lion's share of this property right here with this duplex, have Eddie Wolf draw some lines here and plat it so that if it's ever sold, it is put on its own lateral and septic system right here, which is downstream also.
And you can get 2 acres?
I don't think I can still get that
by
the time I split it all up.
Grandfathered in or something, or what?
Do what?
Well,
it would have to be a variance.
That's what I'm asking
for all these different things. Do what?
You're going to come close.
Well, I've got 3 different parcels here.
He's got three different parcels, all of it's on septic. So we may have to stop and run to the Board of Adjustment. And I think we've already discussed that with Mr. Ceretti. He wanted to float the project to you first. Then we've got this 120-day period here where we can slide him into Board of Adjustment. If it sounds feasible to you, not saying that you're agreement on it, but you understand what he's done, and you go get your variances, and then we can see it and everything like that. But you need to hear, you know, before we send him to the Board of Adjustment. He wanted to present this, and we knew we were going to have to go to Board of Adjustment.
Last week, John Suti and Brent both came out, and this is the solution that we wanted to run by you at least. Then this duplex here would have an easement across this property, and they would have this by themselves. At the time these were put in, they each have their own black tank, and then they share a gray tank. And the gray, of course, is below the black, and if it does break out, it should break out in gray water.
So it would require variances. Would actually be creating 3 lots out here.
Okay, but explain to me again why it would come through us and why it wouldn't go.
Well, he's asking to split this off and make it commercial.
That's what I'm asking you for.
Okay, and the rationale for that is long range.
Well, rental or possible sale, if that was ever an option.
But we have to have a plan to split this off and see if we can get the variances. If they won't grant the variances, of course, you can't really do anything with it. But we wanted to go ahead and start this project kind of simultaneously. We brought up the concept. We will be going right to Board of Adjustment and everything. But by the time he's done with the Board of Adjustment, he can jump right back into his public hearing the following month. So in November, he will be at Board of Adjustment. And then in December, he'll be back here with you if he gets his variances.
Problem is that looks pretty rocky and probably pretty...
This would all be contingent on this doing a perk test or soil analysis, that area. Actually, it's cleared out woods. It was all angledosed back in 93, and there is considerable dirt right here. As you get up into here, this is cedar.
Everything that was put on the property at the time it was put on there was approved. He has permits for everything. And at the time, 1 to 3 acres was the norm. So with his 3 acres here, wasn't an issue. And everything. And like I say, we've already discussed, but we want to get the process started. We'll go get the variances and come back and everything. But we didn't want to have to wait because of the time frame. We could still get him in for the concept hearing, but we couldn't get him in. You know, without having to cost a couple more months. So that's why that's there. And he is aware that we're going to need some variances. Okay.
Mr. Coxey, I'm somewhat concerned about the issue of floating the lateral lines. That's an interesting kind of... Never mind.
Doing what?
Never mind. Bad.
Nobody wants to float the lateral lines.
I understand. And we certainly wouldn't want to do that. But you did use the term, we wanted to float this project.
We want this to that flow, was, to that flow
was,
this process.
That was an interesting verb in okay. relationship okay. to the sewage treatment system. Okay. Okay, Mr. Cerretti, complicated though it may be, we'll see you...
If he gets his variance.
Okay, in November, maybe.
No, you will see him in December.
About the commercial part. If
right.
he gets his variance.
Right.
Okay.
Because if he gets his variances, the lots can be split, and then he would come back to you for the commercial approval of the shop.
Okay. Thank you.
No more questions.
I don't think so. Okay, let's move on to Mr. Trilane's Ford then.
And as he's coming, if you can remember the project, I don't know that we have anything with us tonight to bring that up.
Okay.
This was a deal where they are contemplating future expansion. Nothing definitely set, but as we had gone back into the records, there was no Division 3 and everything. And so we kind of expanded a couple times, and we asked them if they would mind coming through, presenting what they might want to do in the future. And this way we have a good, clean record. We know what's out there, everything's okay, and here's where we're going to go from there. And so he did come through and present the project. Don't believe there was anybody here from the public as far as opposition was concerned or anything like that. We just didn't have a representative when it was vote night. And so we want you to take that opportunity, if you wouldn't mind.
And we need to vote.
To allow it or not to allow it.
Do
you remember it was two,
right.
the potential of what's out there now, and the potential of two additional showrooms and everything like that. So,
any problems with this?
And if I can clarify anything for
motion
you, I'd be glad to do it.
To allow Tri-Lakes Ford to do its proposed project. So moved. Second?
I'll second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Got it. Okay. Yes.
Boy, a lot going on in the county. But we met with the commissioners. As you know, FEMA has supplied our new floodplain maps, preliminary maps and everything. Met with the commissioners last week and drew up some list as far as how many properties were touching the floodplain and who some of these were multiple owners and everything like that. Put into the mail on Friday postcards properties touching the floodplain so that people could be notified to come in and look at the map. Some of these people are going to be in the floodplain. Some have a property that's touching, but their structure is not in the floodplain or anything. Just trying to notify the county, the residents there that...
And you said there were over 2,000?
Yes, ma'am. There's actually a little over 3,000 properties. Actually had to send out 2,000 different owners. We took out people like Corps of Engineers, things like that, that they're shown there. This morning, we received the fruits of our labor, and we're just slammed all day with people coming in to look at the map and everything. It just takes a long time. But what we've offered is for until now, until the 29th, because we're on a deadline with FEMA, to anybody that would like to, you know, that gets this card from us that would like to come in and see. For a lot of people, it won't be any change at all or anything like that. But just to verify the map, to make sure that the map doesn't show them in a floodplain and they're setting, you know, 1,000 feet up on a cliff and or something like that, giving the county residents the opportunity to look at that, either in our office from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, which will probably keep us busy for the next couple of weeks. And then I believe it's Tuesday of next week, a viewing station set up here between the hours of 10 and 6. On November the 4th, the public meeting that is held by FEMA with the county, all the incorporated areas and everything like that, and whatever public would like to be here, to where they collect that information that's been put in. And proceed on from there in proving out of the maps and making them one further step into being effective, which probably will be several months down the line still. They did tell us that, you know, the base flood elevation in Staney County did not change. If there is an error that and we've run into one, possibly two so far today, But there needs to be some kind of a proof that something's going on. And the one we did run in today, a lady was in, and the map does show the base flood elevation. When she had her house built, they did shoot elevations out there, and her survey does show them to be a couple feet higher than what they have. So there was a change in the map from the old map to the new map,
which is something that we will get to them and say, you know, you might want to reconsider this. We're going to be...
And that meeting is November 4th?
I believe it is November 4th, yes, ma'am. And
in the evening?
It is here at 2 o'clock. Now, the other meeting where it's just for the people that need a viewing that doesn't come to our office is actually going to be set up in here, just similar to what we do at the office right now. It is, I believe, Tuesday between 10 and 6. You can come here and view the maps instead of coming to our office if you prefer. So be aware of that. You remember last week, County Attorney was before you asking us to consider some changes in a few of the rules in their code book concerning duplexes, permit renewals, and lot splits of a certain nature. Of course, in order to do that, we need to post our next meeting in a different way, and it's our intention to probably try to do that.
You're going to try to do that in a December meeting then?
Actually, we'll probably, if we can get everything together, we'd like to try and do it in the November meeting.
Because there would only be one project then, and that's Dave Clemens's.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, that is correct. So, and don't know that we'll get finished or anything like that, but we do have to post it differently, and it requires some additional posting in the newspapers and things like that. But it is our intention to try and have that posted as potential code book changes to be reviewed, with public meeting, everything like that. And then we will, as we are close to that, try to see if we're going to have all three of those ready or what the case might be. So,
okay. And then the commissioners' meetings on the hearings on planning and zoning. Can you report on those, especially when the next one is?
The next one is on the 25th at 7 p.m. at the Kirbyville Middle School.
25th?
Yes, yes. And if you'd like to be there, feel
next
free.
Monday, is that right?
25th. Today's the 18th, so yes, sir, that would be correct.
So
it's 7 days.
Thursday. I'm kidding.
Next one. And it's Kirbyville Middle School.
I think overall, yes. You know, there's a lot of people for a lot of reasons that are, you know, have. Overall, I think what you heard was that the majority of the people want to have planning and zoning. Some people are upset with staff. Some people are upset with board. Some people are upset with actual portions of the code. So there's a lot of things that need to be looked at. And as you and I know, some of us are upset with portions of the code. I'm not real upset with staff or anything like that.
Just a little?
Sometimes I do. But as you know, in our business, it's when you run into planning and zoning, it's not always a happy thing. And so, you know, it's a hard thing. Even today, we had a lot of concern with people, even though we were just trying to help with this floodplain stuff and prevent something. It looks like we're trying to force some new regulations down and everything, which we really don't have anything to do with on that. So some people come in very concerned, and you try to alleviate those concerns and explain to them what's going on. But, you know, that's just the way it is. So anyway, Mr. Clemenson was at the meeting. Ms. Martin was at the meeting. Mayor Presley, several different people. I have a list of everybody that spoke and how many times they spoke and what their concerns were and stuff like that. But overall, what you're going to see is that people, they want some changes. Some of them I would agree with. I don't think there's any reason to get rid of staff or anything like that, but, you know, that's my opinion, and that's something that needs to be evaluated, I'm sure. But anyway, that's kind of what's going on there.
How many of those people, well, never mind. Now I'm going to make a comment anyway.
Go ahead.
Two comments.
Okay.
I'm just curious as to how many people that, you know, are... that have the issues of planning and zoning have actually ever attended a planning and zoning meeting, because I've been to quite a few. And most of those people that are running around with petition, I've never seen here before. That's one comment. And the other comment is that I would encourage anybody to sign the petition that doesn't care what their neighbors do, when, not them, but what their neighbors do, when, how, or where. If they don't care about that, then they probably should sign that petition.
there, you know, I think people have legitimate concerns, and you know, and some people came in with a specific interest about, you know, needing. I live here and I need something done with the property across my street. You know, who do I see? So it just kind of ran the gamut and everything like that, and I think Mr. Pendle did try to make sure that what was being discussed wasn't necessarily hearsay, that you know that these people had had contacted you know, planning and zoning in some way or something like that. But sometimes you know you just don't get that. But anyway, and Ms. Martin was there; she can probably give you a better view on it. I listened; I was not at that particular meeting.
Today or the.
This was last Thursday and everything. So, any input there?
Other than the fact that I've already told Mr. Pendle that everybody gets their 5 minutes of fame one time at the microphone. I think that I felt like most of the people there were in favor mm-hmm. of planning and zoning. And the ones that there was a lot of very positive feedback. Most of it, it's broken. Now, there's some parts of it that's broken, but we don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need to take what we've got and make it better and improve it.
I agree.
And I think that was the general consensus by the thoughtful people.
Well, I was there, and I agree with what was said, but I also wanted, and I know you know this, some people's up there at the mic saying they wasn't opposed to planning and zoning. The bottom line is that's the reason why they're here, in my opinion. They just wasn't going to admit it, but they really would like to get rid of it, period.
But for them or for their neighbor?
That's for them.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point, is that they don't want planning and zoning for themselves. They want planning and zoning for the neighbors, but not
well,
for themselves.
Well, talking that... saying they wasn't against it, but in my opinion, they are.
Yeah.
They just, but the majority of people were for it. They some of them wanted some changes.
And
if you spend any time with us going over the code book, like several of you have, you know, we know.
Yeah, I mean, there's some
we know, but sometimes it's not as easy as just to change a word here because it starts impacting a whole lot of other things, and which is what the commissioners had started a year ago with the whole big over thing that's kind of been blown out of the
place. But change takes time.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you don't want to do something that you're going to regret in 6 months or a year or 2 years. So I think that it needs to be with thoughtful consideration. Equitable. It's not going to be equitable for everybody. There's going to be some people that are going to be really upset.
So that is what I have. I believe, Mark, you might have been here.
I would like to say just one quick thing. I got a call today, very, very quickly. The lady who got the pond filled in.
Yes, ma'am.
I got a call today from someone who you have been dealing with that I know. They're very good friends of mine, and your name came up, and they said that they really appreciated the effort that you were making on their behalf because their property is part of the downstream part of it. And they were very complimentary, and I did not solicit their opinion. So it was unsolicited that they were really, they were very happy with the way you were handling them.
And Mr. Cummings.
I'm just going to comment on the gentleman that commented last week to you about you shouldn't be allowed to vote. You shouldn't be on this commission because you are a resident of the city of Forsyth, right? I believe he's totally wrong. You deserve any right, as anyone in this county deserves to serve on this board. You are a resident of Taney County. You pay taxes the same as what he does. And I think that anybody that says you don't deserve to be on this board for that reason is absolutely wrong.
Thank you.
And the reason is, if they're a voted official in this county, then how can they be hold office in this county if they live in the city limits of Branson, Forsyth, Kirbyville, Taneyville? How could they be on an office in Taney County? How could your state legislator serve? How could your governor serve? Because he lives in a city.
And I understand totally wrong. That Mark lives in Rockaway Beach, incorporated in mm-hmm. Rockaway Beach, and so the same issue is...
Well, that decision, that discussion came up here in the meeting the other day, and there were some pretty strong feelings that you lived in Branson, or you still was a part of the county, and you should be a part of it.
So
It's just like Sean said.
Let's not let it back.
If anybody has comments on how we can improve on what we do, they're always welcome to come in and give us some comments.
Let's not let back get in the way of opinion.
Yes, sir. Mr. Pennell, hi.
Come on.
Randall brought it up.
Do you want to come forward, or do you want to...
You make us.
Could you state your name for the record?
The podium is yours.
5 minutes. It's Pennell. It's like kennel. Just think of a dog kennel. Since Randall brought it up, I did mention to the other two commissioners that weren't here, because I missed most of it. I was out in the hall visiting when the issue you just mentioned came up. And I was sad and disappointed that you had to go through that. And my time's running short. I want to say again, just a little different, but thank you guys. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I appreciate what y'all do. And the gentleman that spoke to you was with James. He is against it. Then he came back the next week, and he was for it. Guess what happened today?
He's against it again.
Hmm. So
let's just vote his end out of the county, then we'll put a pig farm next to him.
it's easy to say, but no. You just got to blow it off, and I don't do that too well.
Me neither. I don't blow it off.
Thank you.
Either.
Well, anything else for the good of the Lord?
One more comment.
Jeez.
I've attended most all meetings on planning and zoning. I'm trying to attend all the board ones. But in this recent public issue that's come forward, you know, we've been signing this petition and everything, there's a whole lot of unhappiness and discontent, but there's not a lot of specifics.
Yeah.
They cannot point to we don't like this or we don't like that. So I really wish they'd point to specifics, because right now it's just
it's hard to deal with.
You know, there is one more thing we probably ought to look at. Getting the dollar amount on the land grading permits to where there's enough there to cover.
And what needs while to we're be, doing this coming up, we can do that.
If you could put something in for us to look at to where there'd be enough money there to cover a project, to reseed it, level it out, do what we need to.
I don't understand why you can't have 120% of that estimate.
Exactly.
Like everything else.
We don't get an estimate on that. Our code book just says there's a flat fee.
But maybe that's something
yes, sir,
that
it can
be
changed.
Because why should a project come in and it's tore all the pieces and you got $3,000 to fix it with? It takes $20,000. Why should the taxpayers of Tana County be able to have to pay for that?
Well, we can, like I say, in that same meeting, we can look at that.
Did you get that, Benita?
No. I've got it.
Okay. I think this meeting is adjourned.
Hey, before you guys all...